the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are celebrating All Saints' Day. It occurs after the Reformation, which makes it a tough act. But it did, of course, play a part in the Reformation, for it was on Halloween, All Hallows' Evening, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door. But it's a tough act, because the Reformation talks about justification, while All Saints' Day is in the realm of sanctification, which always seems a little Roman Catholic to most Lutherans. But let us look at sanctification today, and at those exemplars of sanctification, the saints, to see what we might learn. Just what is sanctification? Negatively, it may be said, sanctification is not doing good works to merit the favor of God, to appease God's wrath, or to earn our way into heaven. Over this question, the Reformation was fought, and it is the grossest distortion of Holy Scripture. Neither is sanctification only a logical consequence of justification, as if by our faith we are justified. And because this is so, it follows logically that we should try to do the will of God. Often this is said in popular preaching. Rather, in traditional terms, sanctification is the necessary follow-on to justification, that holiness of life which follows trust in God in spirit-wrought faith. That doing of good works which follows a trust which grasps the glorious promises of the gospel and holds on to them for all they are worth. To use Jesus' own analogy, it is a good tree bearing good fruit, naturally, of its own accord. Indeed, this is exactly what James meant in the second chapter of his epistle when he said, "So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, from my works, will show you my faith. So also faith apart from works is dead." But it may be well to look at the matter from another point of view, a viewpoint which is especially congenial on this All Saints Festival Day. Let us look at it eschatologically, from the viewpoint of the end of the age and of the age to come. That new age, we must remember, has already dawned. For that is the message of the New Testament. Our Lord himself said, "But if by the finger of God I cast out demons, then the final reign and rule of God, the kingdom of God, has come upon you." Matthew chapter 12. The end time has already come in the ministry, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. From this perspective, how can we view the Christian life? In this way. Justification is nothing less than God's verdict on the last day, present here and now in time. Or, to put it slightly differently, to say that a man is justified is nothing less than to say that judgment day has already come and that the final verdict has already been pronounced. When the gospel declares, "Your sins are forgiven," that is the verdict of the final judgment. When the pastor says, "I forgive you all your sins," that is Christ's verdict pronounced upon you and me right now. What a beautiful and comforting truth that is. And what is concomitant, coincident with that eschatological verdict? The new creation of God. The restoration of creation, really, of the age to come. We see such recreation in Jesus' ministry as he brought the new age to his contemporaries, especially in his healings and in his miracles. And we participate in that new age restoration too. as we are baptized into Christ, in whom are all benefits of the age to come, and on whom we feed in the Holy Eucharist to be sustained with heavenly food. What is the characteristic of this new age creation? Of course, life, wholeness, deathlessness, but also obedience. That is, restoration to the kind of people we once were in our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Restoration back to what God always intended us to be. Creation was not designed to be out of harmony with its creator, but rather in tune with him, doing his will. Not by coercion, not grudgingly, but willingly, joyfully, gladly. It was designed to be, in a word, sanctified. This is what salvation is all about. Therefore, to say that a Christian ought to be sanctified, ought to live according to the will of God, is nothing less than to say that a Christian ought to be a participant in the blessings of the age to come, that he ought to be a new creation, that he ought, in short, to be a Christian, which very thing he already is. Because sanctification is nothing less than the presence here and now in time of the physical realities of the age to come, which realities we surely have in Christ Jesus. To put it in the language of the Gospels, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But he also called his followers the light of the world, like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. In Christ, the blessings of the new age were present visibly for his contemporaries, and in us, who are in him, they are present for our contemporaries in very much the same way. But why is our sanctification level, so to speak, so low? Why is our light so dim, our work so weak? Quite simply, because we are still in the old age, encumbered by our sinful flesh, which fights against the new man within us. We are still in the pre-second coming, pre-parousia times. For in the parousia, the old man will be stripped away. The final resistance will be crushed, and then we will be seen fully for what we truly are, namely, fully pure, fully holy, fully sinless sons and daughters of the King. And here is where the saints come in, and why All Saints' Day is so valuable to us. In some of God's children, the new age is more visible than it is in others. All of us are God's own possession. We are all God's people fully. But in some, the fact of that possession is more clearly seen than it is in others. In all Christians, the age to come has come, and can be seen to some extent in their sanctified lives in Christ. But in the saints, this is all the more true, so that in their lives, we get a good glimpse, as it were, of the parousia, which will be the full revelation of God's end-time realities. It is from this perspective that we must view these men and women of God. Do we view them as examples? Yes. Do we view them as holy? Yes. Do we view them as better than we are? No. We view them simply as more transparently revealing the eternal realities which we now possess in hiddenness and which will one day shine forth for all the world to see. In them, we see ourselves as we truly are and as we will someday be seen by all. For this reason, they can be a source of hope for us and a promise of things to come. May we too let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen.